For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
No one gave him anything. Verse 17 says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat, bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Amen. Verse 25 says, now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. It says, but he was angry and will not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandments at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, says, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots? You killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. You know, this is a classic story that a lot of us, we know. The story of the prodigal son. You know, we all like the story of the prodigal son. In fact, a lot of times, Sunday school, it's like one of the easiest stories that the Sunday school children, they remember. I remember this from when I was a little boy, Sunday school. I remember actually my Sunday school teacher sharing this with me. Like, wow, how could he do that? He'll go and then he'll come back. And one thing that I actually didn't understand at that time is that he came back and the father killed a fatted calf for him. The fatted one was like the best one, the juicy one was given to him. But you see, the father was not celebrating his wrongdoing, but rather was celebrating the fact that he's still alive. He's not dead. He's still alive and has turned around and is coming back. Amen. And has come back. Amen. You know, so the nature of a son is revealed by the response of his father. Amen. Yeah, if you call yourself a son, it is revealed by how you respond to a father. Yeah. When the father says this, What do you say? Do you play table tennis with the father? He says A, you say B. You know, unfortunately, you know, we are, fortunately or unfortunately, let me put it that way, we are in a country where it's like, oh, speak your mind. You know, in fact, we are in a country that condones and encourages foolishness. I'm sorry to say. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like sometimes you read the articles in the news and stuff like that. It's like, wow, what world are we living in right now? Where a parent, I mean, maybe corrects the child in public, and then a so-called psychologist will write about it, that something like that actually is not helping the child. That it's wrong. You are suppressing the child. You are not letting the child grow up to be what they want to be. I mean, come on. Seriously. I mean, listen. When I was growing up, my parents, they would not even need to spank me in public. It would be done at home. And you would not wish for that to be done at home. No, no, no. In fact, when you go outside and you are misbehaving, just the look will say everything that you need to know. Yeah, just the look. In fact, my dad used to, I mean, sometimes when you misbehave, sometimes when you come home, he will tell you that you go and find a cane and bring it. You go and find your own cane and bring it, you know. And you better find a good one. Because if you don't find a good one and bring it, and he goes to find one for you, it might be dangerous for you. It might be serious danger for you. You don't want that. Amen. You know, so how we respond, you know, to our fathers. Yeah, Reverend Fleischer has been here so many years. He talks all the time. How do we respond to him? Yeah, I mean, something as simple as cell meetings, you know, and so someone will say, hey, there you go. He's going there again. Yeah, I will go there. I will go there. You knew I was going to go there. So I'm going there. Cell meetings. How many of us here? I mean, he's been talking. I mean, he stood here. And sometimes you will see that he's really burdened with this thing. Yeah, that join a cell fellowship. And you just look at him. Oh, okay. You nod your head. And sometimes we have this, I don't know whether I should say a sheepish smile. Well, as he say, we just smile. Oh, okay, yeah, cell meeting, yeah. We hear it. We've heard it before. Yeah, we hear it. But listen, let us be serious. If Reverend Fleischer is a father to us in this church, we have to start listening to him. Yeah, we have to start listening to him and stop doing things our own way. Amen. We should stop doing things our own way. A lot of times we try to do things our own way, you know, and then before you know, things are not going well for you. And guess what? When things are not going well for you, what do? You come back to him. Yeah, now he becomes a father. Yeah, now his word starts to mean something to you. Yeah, you know. I haven't heard that one, so I don't know if I can repeat it. Anyways, yeah, you know. Listen, we should learn to listen to our Father. Amen. We should learn to honor him. You know, we should learn to honor him. This prodigal son, the first thing that he did, you know, is to come to the Father. I think the Father's will was for him to see them grow together, develop together, and then at a point, he will rather call them and say, I give this to you. I entrust this to you. You know, but he has the wings, you know, he's growing the horns. He came, oh, give me my possessions and I'm ready to leave. I'm ready to check out. The youth, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, they are not here. I would have you know, I mean, I remember when I was younger, before I turned 18, I couldn't wait to turn 18 because I told myself that after I turned 18, that means I'm at liberty to do anything I can do. Oh, yeah. You know, but as you grow older and older, you realize that, no, the input of your parents is needed even more and more because life is not as you think. Yeah. You know, life is not as you think. You may have so many questions and stuff like that. You wait with time, with time. with time, you will understand it. So we should stop challenging. I mean, if you're a youth here and you have a habit of challenging your parents, I'm telling you, you are putting yourself in the path of a curse. That is the simple truth. You are putting yourself in the path of a curse. It will not be well with you. Oh yeah, I've seen, you know, in many, many families. Yeah, I've seen people growing up where some of them will listen to the parents. Oh, the dad says, do this, you do it. The dad says, go here, you do it. And then I've seen one who will always challenge. Oh, the dad says, do this. Why should I do it? My friends are not doing it this way. Why should I do it? My friends are not doing it this way. Hey, with time, I have seen the wisdom in obeying what your father just tells you. In fact, up till now, I'm not ashamed to say this, that up till now, when my dad calls me and tells me that I should do this way, I go every length and every height just to do it. Oh, yeah. Oh, seriously. And I realize that as I do that, I am being blessed by the grace of God. Yeah. So for we should learn. I mean, for us, no matter what happens, you will always be a child in the eyes of your parents. Okay? We will always be a child in the eyes of your parents. Yeah, you will always be a child. Never think that you've gotten to a certain state where, oh, your parents cannot advise you anymore. No, that is not good. When you get to that state where no one can advise you anymore, you are starting to bring yourself curses. In fact, there are too many curses in this world. So already, yeah, so we should learn to work to attain more blessings. Amen. To negate, to cancel those curses. Amen. And to neutralize the curses. Amen. You can read Bishop Zach's book, Neutralize the Curse. It's a very good book. Amen. No, so some characteristics of a prodigal son. It says, a prodigal son goes away from his father and his father's house. Amen. Yeah. And wasteful. The word prodigal is basically wasteful. Yeah. Wasteful. You can't wait to leave the area coverage of your parents. Let me put it that way. Yeah, the coverage area of your parents. Yeah, so if your parents are in this city, it's like, I can't wait to leave this city. Yeah, I can't wait to go to college. I can't wait where I'm no longer under my parents, you know. Or maybe I can't wait to travel where I'm under no more supervision. Yeah, if you have that mindset where you don't want anyone's eyes to be on you, you want to just do anything, anyhow. Careful now. That is all I will say. Amen. Point number two, a prodigal son wants to be as far away from home as possible. Yeah. First of all, you want to leave home. And then after you leave home, you want to be as far away from home as possible. And that is what the prodigal son did. Yeah. You see that he went to, the Bible says that he went to a far country. In fact, TBN, I think they have a movie that they used to show about it's like the story of the prodigal son, you know, where this guy, the father gave him the inheritance. In fact, in the movie, you know, when he gave him the inheritance, this guy went to get a Lamborghini, you know. In fact, instead of even buying a house for himself, he could afford the nightly rate at a hotel. So he went to rather live in a hotel rather, you know, and then changing the woman. They come and go. Hey! They come and they go. It's like I'm blowing time, you know. I'm smoking, I'm drinking, I'm changing the woman, I'm blowing time. This is the life, you know. You're even killing yourself if you don't know by doing that. Yeah. When we went to on our way back from Israel, when we went to Israel, in the airport, they have these smoking pots. You know, they have these smoking pots. When I saw the people in there, I just started laughing. And then one of my pastor friends made a comment that, hey, these people, they are really killing themselves and they are enjoying it. You are killing yourself and you are enjoying it. You see that they go into the pot, close the door, and then they are smoking. It's like, just smoking constantly. Hey! I remember also on our way there was one guy whose hand luggage, you will not even imagine it. This guy's hand luggage were 3 big bottles of hard liquor. I'm like, hey! What the hand luggage? This guy was actually the guy who was sitting by me on our way there. 3 big bottles of hard liquor. Hey! That is your hand luggage. I'm like, this one, I haven't seen one before. I think he is giving me a window for preaching. Oh, yeah. This guy was, that was from the US to Russia. Going to Russia, three big bottles. I'm telling you, the bottles were huge. This is not normal. These are like, you see, if I'm telling that three big bottles for a hand luggage, and I'm telling you, probably might even weigh the same as my hand luggage that I was carrying or something. They were huge. They were huge. Even the air hostess had to move it from one spot to a different spot. It was so easy, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Yeah, it's like, that is time. We are blowing time. We are blowing time. Prodigal living. Wasteful living. Yeah, wasteful living. It's like, oh, I have a little money. You know, come on, let's go blow time. You know, you are not thinking about the future. Prodigal, wasteful living. If you are prodigal, you don't even think about, like, then 5 steps ahead. You're not even 2 steps. You'll not even think about it. For you, it's like, let me live for now. The time is now. Let us blow the time now. The graffer. You know, what will happen will happen. Yeah, all die be die. Hey, not all die be die, yo. No. Not at all. Amen. Yeah. Says, a prodigal son wastes his life opportunities. Yeah. You waste your life opportunity. In fact, one thing that is equal for all of us is time. Time, you know, and time wasted is never time regained. You can never make up for time that you've wasted. Yeah, you can try, but you can never make up for it. Yeah, so whenever the opportunity comes for something, make sure, tell yourself that this thing has come once, and once it's gone, that is it. When you have that attitude, it helps you to check yourself. You will not waste money. You will not waste money on useless things. One thing that I actually once saw, a picture, it showed Mark, is it Zuckerberg, right? Yeah, Zuckerberg. And then it showed the picture of another guy, you know. And this is Zuckerberg, who is a billionaire, a multi-billionaire, you know, probably the youngest the highest youngest multi-billionaire, you know, and then the highest young multi-billionaire. And then he's just wearing a t-shirt and a pant, and his shoes is, simple, okay? And then they show the picture side by side, another person who's a cousin of ours, amen, another person, and this person was wearing like maybe $300 shoes. The person is wearing maybe $150 pants, you know, and the shirt with all the labels and the chains around the neck as they are walking, you know, it's the bling blings. Listen, don't waste money on such things. Yeah, if in this life all that you think about is what I will wear, what I will eat, you know, what I will show to people. Usually those who have a lot don't try to show a lot to people that they have a lot. Yeah. But usually those, I think it's a complex. Those who don't have much, always they want to, it's like when I'm wearing the shirt, it has to have a label on it. Yeah, it has to have a label on it. Oh yeah. I thank God that one of my best trousers that I actually like to wear, I bought it for like $5 by the grace of God, and I don't care. Listen, when I'm wearing it, whether you are wearing a $200 pant or $5 pant, who will come and ask you about it? No one cares about it. Who knows? No one cares about it. Wasteful. And people who usually don't have like to waste. Yeah, that's prodigal living. It's a type of son who will not listen to the father, will want to waste everything that they have. Yeah, it's a type of son. Yeah, opportunities come. You know, the time for, if you're a young guy sitting here, a young lady sitting here, the time, you see, as Prophet Kaka mentioned before, as for suffering, we will suffer. You will suffer. Listen, it is part of life. For suffering, you will suffer, whether you like it or not. So our time, if it is time to go to school and you don't want to go to school, and you want to be foolish and walk around anywhere, do things anyhow, the time to suffer will come. You see, and you choose what you want to suffer by. You know, you choose the type of suffering you want to suffer. Yes, the type of suffering and time. Yeah, you can spend the first 25 years of your life just going through school. It's also a type of suffering because sitting down to learn mathematic equations and learn different things, it's not easy. It is not easy. Oh, yeah, it's not easy at all. Yeah, it's not easy. Yeah, you know, you're an art student. Okay. Whether you are art, this one, math, whether you are art or you are science, math applies to all. Whether you are art or you are science, it applies to all. You know, you can even study geography. Math applies to you. Yeah, even English. If you want to study English in school, math still applies to you. Yeah, the time to, you choose when to suffer. You choose when to suffer. So you make the, you have to make the decision that I will suffer now to gain later. But a lot of times we are looking and comparing ourselves with other people. And the prodigal son, that is what he did. Compares himself to other people. He goes and wastes his money. He goes and then he wants everyone to see that, listen, me too, I am somebody. I'm sorry, excuse me, Mr. Man or Miss Woman, excuse me, you are nobody. Oh yes, no matter what you have, someone has more than you. Oh yeah, so just learn to walk in your place. Just learn to walk the line that the Lord has given you. We should learn to obey our parents. Oh yeah, no matter how old you are, we should learn to obey our parents. Oh yes, yes, we have to learn to do that and not waste life's opportunities. Yeah, because as for the opportunities, they will always come home, but you have to make use of them. And they will always come, but they will, like the opportunity that you have as a 25-year-old, it's not going to be the same opportunity that you have when you're a 35-year-old. Yeah, or the opportunity as a 15-year-old, it's not going to be the same opportunity as a 25-year-old. Yeah, you know, so we should learn to really, really make use of the opportunities that come our way. Amen. Amen. A prodigal son recognizes his mistakes in the midst of his life and returns to his father. Yeah, in fact, I think when I saw this part, I'm like, wow, here is love. See, you read the story of the prodigal son, you know, he remembers that, how many of my father's servants are even suffering? You know, that they have even enough bread to eat that they will spare. I am here begging for, you know, for food that swine eat. Yeah, I have become the lowest of human beings. Yeah, because of my prodigal living. And usually, those who live prodigally, at the time catches up with them. In fact, there are a few people who maybe there are exceptions and of things still work out well for them. Fine, but it's not everyone that things tend to work out well for them by they cheating their way through life. Yes, you know, and time will definitely catch up with us, no matter what we do. Amen. So we should make sure, you know, that we make the right decisions. And then when you are in the wrong path, and then you come to your senses, you know, you come to your senses that, this thing, I've made a mistake. It's never too late to make a U-turn. Yeah, it's never too late to turn your life around. It's never too late. You see, there is a race that is set before every single person. The person that you might be comparing yourself with, maybe you are the same age, but the person is here, you are here. But you may never know, maybe the person, the Lord has given the person only 50 years to live their life, and then you are 25 years old, and you are comparing yourself with your friend who is, higher ahead of you, way ahead of you, you know, and you are looking and saying, oh man, I have really messed up in life, I can't go back. No, you can go back. You can turn around. Amen. You can turn around because the grace of the Lord, you know, is available for all of us. Amen. Yeah, the Lord's grace is available for all of us to turn around. It's never too late. It's never so. When you come to your senses, which is what he did, what the prodigal son did, he came to his senses and then he turned around. If you are a prodigal son, there should be a time that you have to come to your senses that I am wasting my life. Yeah, you cannot be a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter forever. Yeah, there should come a time you should look at yourself and say that, no, I have to turn around. have to turn around. You see, and the interesting thing is that the father, you know, when you read the story, the father was always looking, expecting that one day my child will turn around. One day he will turn around and come back. One day he will turn around and come back. So when he turned around and he was coming back, as he would normally do, just be looking far. I'm sure he's probably using a telescope. Hey, is my son coming back? Can I see him from the horizon? Is he coming back? You know, or maybe a binoculars. Yes, thank you. He's looking. Is he coming back? Ah, there he is. He's coming back. Said the father, he ran to meet. Yeah, can you imagine the old man running to meet the son? And when he saw him, he hugged and kissed him. Wow, that my son has come back. Yeah, that is how excited God gets when we turn our lives around. Amen. When we turn our lives around, amen, you know, and we come back. Yeah, when you decide that you are turning your life around, you come back. God gets so happy. In fact, you are going to be celebrated because you are turning your life around. Amen. Yeah. You know, and people who turn their lives around, they should be celebrated. Yes. When people turn their lives around, they should be celebrated. In fact, we will come to the elder son too. You know, he was a good son, but he was also very judgmental. Yeah. 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 He was also very judgmental. He was a good son. He says, no. Anyways, let me come back to this point. He says, point number five, a prodigal son suffers loss of many things because of his foolishness and his rebellious ways. Amen. Yeah, because, I mean, you see, and if you are a prodigal son and you turn your life around, don't come back expecting that you will get the same treatment as those who never went away. Yeah. You see, he, first of all, when he came to his senses, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. If you don't humble yourself, you will not go anywhere. Yes, the Bible says that humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Amen. You humble yourself and the Lord will lift you up. So if you come to your senses and you are not humble enough to turn around and to go and ask for forgiveness, you know, when he even came back to ask for forgiveness, said, you just treat me as one of your servants. Yeah, not even as a, just treat me as one of your servants. That is a heart, a penitent heart. Yeah, yeah, that is a heart that is full of, that has repented. No, it cannot be this way. Yes, it cannot be this way. Amen. Anyways, let me go to the characteristics of the, I said there are four types of sons, right? Let's see if we can go through this one. The characteristics of the elder son. It says, an elder son stays at home with the father. Amen. An elder son stays at home with the father. You see, when we are talking about stays at home with the father, it does not mean that an elder son, if you are an elder son, you just stay home. You don't decide to even get married and then leave home and all of that. No, no, no. Your heart is at home with your father. Your heart is at home with your father. Amen. It says, and a prodigal son never commits major sins. So, you know, that's all of these things, like, is building up. I'm an elder son. You know, look at this, your son. When he came back, you have killed a fatted calf. I didn't do this thing. I didn't do that. That is self-righteousness. Yeah. Self-righteousness. You are trying to be holier than thou. It's like, as for you, when the judgment day comes, in fact, the Lord might even consult you before he blows a trumpet. Oh, yes, that is how judgmental some of us we can be. Yeah, when you see, when you have not gone through a certain path in life, don't just judge every other person who has gone through a certain path in life. Because, listen, everything that we are, all that we have, all that we are, the Bible says that it is by grace that we are saved. Amen. Whatever you have, no matter how good you are, you know, the Bible says that what? Your righteousness even is as filthy rags. Amen. So never think that you can outrighteous the blood of God. Amen. It is the blood of God, the blood of Jesus, that makes us all righteous. Amen. When you remove the blood, we are all nothing. No matter how good you are, if the blood of Jesus is taken away, we are all bound for hell. Yeah. That is a simple truth. I can't say it any better than this. It is just by grace that we are saved. Just by grace that we are saved. And it was through faith. By grace that we are saved through faith. Amen. It says, an elder son never stays off the straight and narrow path set for him by his parents. Yes. You know, if you're an elder son, you listen. The parent tells you, do this, you do it. Oh, don't do this. You don't study this. You study it. You know, don't do it that way. Don't even, they can tell you that, don't marry this person. And then you will still do it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You see, and sometimes when it comes to the marriage part, a lot of times we don't even like to talk about it. Because sometimes people's eyes are not open enough to see what their parents are seeing. Yeah. Yeah. Because since there's a saying that what love is blind. But guess what? The neighbors are not blind. Uh-huh. Love is blind, but the neighbors are not. Okay? The neighbors of love, they are not blind. So they could easily see that, hey, this one, brother, you're going the wrong. You're getting yourself into an ajratazan, you know. So be careful now. You know, it says, an elder son does not live a life of pleasure and waste. Amen. You know, but because of all of these good qualities of an elder son, you know, now it makes them feel like, listen, as they are coming, now it birthed a certain kind of pride in them. Yeah. It's like, oh, me, I'm not like them. I'm not like them. I'm not, I don't smoke like them. You know, I don't go to the clubs like them. I don't chase women like them. I don't lie like them. Because of that, even compassion is lost in your heart. Yeah, compassion. And Jesus Christ was compassionate. Yeah. You know, Jesus Christ is compassionate. The Father that we have, He's a compassionate Father. Amen. If we are actually to love people, if we are actually to because that's basically what God did for us. We did not deserve it, but He loved us to salvation. He loved us, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. The first thing was that, The reason why that God gave His Son to us was because He loved us. He loved us that He doesn't want to see us being condemned. He loved us so much that He doesn't want to see us going to hell. He loved us so much that He doesn't want to see us being destroyed. Amen. He loved us. That is the love of the Father. He loved us so much. And this same love, you know, this same love, the Lord expects you to show that same love to others. Amen. Yeah, the Lord expects us to show that same love to others. Usually, when you love people, everyone responds to love. Yeah, no matter who you, even animals, they respond to love. Yeah, even animals, even snakes. What a shock. Yeah, even animals respond to love. Yeah, yeah. You know, so when we choose to love people and rather judge them, when we choose to love them, when we choose to love people, when you choose, sometimes instead of even taking the Bible and always condemn, you are this, you are that, you are this, you are that, you stop this, I tell you stop this. Listen, sometimes as we even do that, you push people away, because there's a place that the same person goes, you know, and if they are, let's say, they are drug addicts, there's a group of drug addicts that when he goes there, they all come to him and they say, hey, come on, man, where have you been, you know? It's like they tell him, come on, let's go smoke some joint, man, you know? They tell him that, hey, oh, the way you are, don't worry, we love you as it is. So if that same person comes and then you, who is supposed to show more love, you know, even when you are speaking the truth, it should be with love. You speak the truth with love. That is what the Bible is saying. We should, I mean, not that even when we speak the truth, we are supposed to speak the truth, but with love. If you don't speak the truth with love, you know, I mean, I remember one pastor saying that you can't just come to, you know, I can't come to my wife and say, Sheyi, I love you. I mean, and I'm pointing my finger at her, I love you. I mean, she'll be scared of me. She'll be like, hey, what has come over this guy? You know, she'll be scared of me. It's like, ah, you know, if every time, you know, and then even there are some men who claim to love, and it's like a possessive type of love where it's like, I love you, so don't even talk to anyone else. Don't even speak to anyone else. Don't even pick anyone else's call. My love for you, because of that love, is just me and you, and that's no one else. I mean, come on, it cannot be like that. Yeah, what kind of love is that? Oh yeah, you know, I've met one or two people like that, which, I mean, I actually got very surprised about it, you know. Oh yeah, yeah. See, love is not controlling. Love is not controlling. You will not control people. You will rather love people and show them the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when people see the love of Jesus Christ in you, when they see that, then, wow, I tell you, when as Christians we live our lives as Christians are supposed to be living our lives, let's say in the whole of America, if every Christian, everyone who calls themselves a Christian, is walking the way Jesus expects us to walk as Christians, it will be very easy for us to win souls. Yeah, it will be very, very easy. It will be very, very easy. Yeah. You know, I mean, a typical thing, for instance, I mean, I say this, you know, like even we see the gay and lesbian and these things that go on over there, you know, and if we, right from the beginning, when all of these things started, if right from the beginning people had not fully judged them, this, that, but rather so that what you are doing is wrong, you know, but tell them in love, that God loves you, but he doesn't love the sin that you are living. You know, if we were to say it that way, rather than this, that, they wouldn't have gotten where they are right now. Yes, by the grace of God, it's true. Yeah, you know, so we should learn not to be judgmental. The older son had all these good qualities, but the one thing, you know, that really did not fare well was he was judgmental. That's why he even said that when this your son came, this your son, he did not even say my brother. He said, this your son came. You have killed a fatted calf for him. And that is how sometimes we talk as Christians. Yeah. When this guy, this person came, when that person came, you know, and that is how Jesus was accused in that same way that he's eating with publicans. He's eating with tax collectors. Yeah. Yeah. He's eating on he's what, healing on the Sabbath day. He's showing compassion. But Jesus Christ, all that he did was just love. Just love. Just love people. And then people followed and they saw that his love was genuine. Yeah. That's love. Love so that someone will not ask questions that, hey, is this a genuine love? Hey, Jesus' love was genuine. Yeah. You know, so we should learn, you know, to walk in this type of love. Amen. I think this is all time will allow us. Amen. There are more. There's the beloved son. And then there is also the stubborn and rebellious son. But I think the one from the prodigal son and then the beloved son is good enough. Amen. This morning, if you are here, amen, shall we please close our eyes? Let's pray. This morning, if you are here and you know that you have lived a wasteful life or you are even living a wasteful life, you know, I mean, your parents are saying it. Your brothers are saying it. Your sisters are saying it. Your friends are saying it. Now listen, turn away from this thing. That is not the way of the righteous. Don't do it that way. You know, if you are here this morning and you know that you are far away from the Lord, you know, you can lift up your hands. I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ. Amen. You might even be a Christian. You might have even given your life to Christ before. But after you gave your life to Christ, it's like, oh, that is it. You know, there's nothing more. I should just live my life anyhow. No, no. If you also want to come back to the Father, because the prodigal son was with the Father already, and then he went away, and then he came back again to the Father. If you want to also come back to the Father, I want everyone's eyes to be closed. Please, if you have your eyes open, please close it. You know, just make it easy for people. Amen. If you want to rededicate your life to Christ or you want to give your life to Christ, you can please lift up your hands and I will pray with you. Amen. Amen. I see that hand. You know, The Lord is going to help you. Amen. The Lord is going to help you. I want all of us to say this after me. Say, dear Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for sending your son to die for me. This morning, I come before you as a sinner. I pray that you will take control of my life. Take charge of my life. My name is, mention your name. Say, take charge of my life. My name is, mention your name, and make me anew. Say, dear Lord, I am so sorry that I have strayed away from you. I come back to you this morning, and I will serve you, and I give my life unto you now and forevermore. Amen. If you pray this prayer for the first time today, I believe that the Lord is here to help you. Amen. After service, you can see me. You can see me, and then we will talk. Amen. All right. God bless you all for coming. Shall we please have our tithe payers? Our tithe payers, if you are paying your tithe, please come to the front and let me pray with you.